This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
You know what, Coach Musselman on yesterday, I'm guessing we're going to play some of that back.
Right.
Talk some more about that. He was with us in the 8 o'clock hour yesterday, and that was fantastic. He was fantastic. I was with him and at a Razorback Club event in Fort Smith last night that they were kind enough to ask me to MC, and he was fantastic there. There's a lot of I can't wait to have him back. And there's a lot of things, you know, when we get 12 minutes with him, I've got 36 more minutes of questions for him. Just some things he brought up. Like, I want to know more about when he was Ron Artest head coach. We could have a whole conversation just about that.
Is that Ron Artest or Meta World Peace?
Either one.
Give us both personalities.
Either.
Give us both those personalities. See what it goes.
No, I'll tell you here one thing that did just totally stand out to me. The Razor, and I know when you go to a Razorback Club event, these are the diehards. These are the blue blooded fans. These are the red blooded fans in this case. These are the people that are with you through thick and thin. So I get who the audience is out there. But I've been to several of these. I've emceed a few of these for the Fort Smith Club when Bielema arrived, when Chad Morris arrived. So I've seen new coaches come and go. And the reception for him and the desire to have a picture made with him and the response to him following his 20 or 30 minute talk to the crowd was pretty positive. It was overwhelmingly positive. And I think people are more excited about basketball than we realize underneath the surface.
Well, I was about to ask you, are you surprised that they were that excited?
No, we knew it, but I think it's more than we estimate.
Okay.
Now, again, I have to guard that, gauge that a little bit, because we are in a room of, you know, like season ticket holders.
Yeah.
You know, like donors.
So people that don't miss any games.
Right, so... But these are also the first people that will moan and complain and gripe about what's going on because they're invested.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, financially, and otherwise. So, but everybody was really fired up after they'd heard Coach speak last night.
Well, and it's funny because I don't want to start completely drawing comparisons because, you know, it was the last year's event when Chad Morris, if I'm not mistaken, was it the same event that Chad Morris spoke at last year?
Right.
I think I was just here at the Morning Rush.
The last two, yeah.
Yeah, I was just here, and I remember going to that event, and I think that may have been one of his first speaking engagements to a Touchdown Club or a Razorback Club or something mm-hmm. in the state. And it's funny because I just based off of what you said last night because I was not there, I remember how people approached and reacted to Chad Morris and then how people approached and reacted to Eric Musselman. And just from my perspective, it certainly seems like, not to say that no one was excited about Chad Morris, but it certainly seems like with Eric Musselman, there's some sort of like new confidence of like, I already have faith in this guy. I already know he's going to get the job done. I'm already all in on this guy.
He's very good in this 30-minute rubber chicken circuit dinner type deal.
Rubber chicken circuit? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, that's usually. Now, I'll say this. They had fried chicken last night. And, you know, they serve the head table when you're up there at the front. It was a buffet deal. But they brought plates out to the, anyway, salad, fried chicken, mashed potatoes. You know, I've seen some of these coaches come and go, and you'd bring some fried chicken or something like that. And it's too healthy for that. Coach dug right into that fried chicken, so he's one of us.
Yeah, well, good. I was going to ask you if they were doing the President Trump dinner and having the McDonald's quarter pounders and stuff out there for him, but
no, they didn't go that route.
No, didn't do that route. So, but, well,
you know, so I think people were really energized and really excited about the direction. I think he's very good in that setting, very good speaker in that. He's got a media background and some time when he took time away from coaching. And so he's used to he's used to these kinds of settings. So he's going to do well as he travels the state and talks to Razorback clubs and talks to groups of Razorback fans. He's going to present himself and the program very well.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that vibe from him. And that's what's kind of just...
Honestly, that wasn't one of Mike's strong suits.
No, it wasn't. He was not a very... I mean, he was not a very good guy that would come in and just excite that fan base right. when he does a speaking
He did a good job of delivering information, but I can see where Coach Musselman, for a while, is going to be able to energize people and get them excited. And boy, when it's over, there was a good line of people wanting their picture made, wanting autographs, wanting... I'm always amazed at grown adults wanting autographs.
Yeah, I never understand that.
Tells you they're all in when they want that.
Well, that's for sure. But do you see what I'm saying, though, when it feels like the excitement that Chad Moore's had and the excitement that Eric Musselman has had, there's kind of like a different element of it?
Well,
it,
they inherited different animals. Chad Morris is trying to rebuild something that's been in the crapper for 7 years, six years. I mean, he's going into his second year. It's been since 2012.
Some bright spots here and there, but yeah. Just here and there.
Less than dull spots, but it's not been much.
Right.
I mean, if you want to consider what was that 7-win year with the bowl win over Texas, I mean, yeah. It hadn't been a lot of bright spots.
Yeah, and then an 8-win year the next year. But yeah, since then it hasn't been. That was about as good as it got right there. So, yeah, I mean, which I get, and I totally get the situation that they've taken over. But it's also just like, you know, I felt like at least when the time when Eric Musselman was hired, I'm like, are Razorback fans going to get behind this guy? Because a lot of them haven't even heard of this guy. He's come from Nevada. He's not been at a big-time school. So I was just always curious about that. But it certainly seems like the Razorback fan base, especially the diehard basketball fans, have really embraced Eric Musselman and have a lot of faith in him and feel like – and I don't know, is that like a national media thing? Like if the national media and people of that state and outside of the state of Arkansas start saying, hey, this is a good hire, is that what makes you believe in it? Like, I mean, I don't know.
I think in our state, when the Razorback program is the only program, there is no split allegiance here. That a new sitting head coach is always going to have, for the most part, undivided loyalty, undivided attention, so to speak. I think the right word I'm looking for here, but you know, right now he's undefeated, hadn't lost any games, and you know, the attention he's getting from some of the fans, I think, is showing that.
And also, he's saying all the right things right now. When he has these speaking engagements, when he's doing these interviews, he's saying all the right things to get Razorback fans excited.
And it's a good time for a deal like that. Again, I'm measuring it on one night and one speech and all this, but it's, you know, it's going into this first dead period after he'd had a couple transfers. And yeah, he's making the point last night, it's all changed so much. And your ability, because of the transfer portal and because of the transfer rules, and you know, you stop and you think about some of the things he said on the show yesterday and just the reality of college athletics and particularly college basketball. What kind of evaluation do you really have on a high school player versus a player you can bring in for a season or two off the transfer portal? You're going to know a whole lot more about that player you're getting off the portal.
That's a good point.
Than you are a high school kid who may be a 3 or a 4-star or even a, you know, generally they don't miss a lot on 5-star kids, but some of these 3 and 4-star kids, they're just misevaluated, and they're not SEC players. And now, when you go to the portal, you know pretty much what you're getting at the college level.
Yeah, well, that was the point I was going to make, is that the level of competition is a lot different, because, you know, a kid in high school can be playing against a lot of nobodies. Well,
that's why you got to evaluate a lot of this stuff in the summertime when the best are playing the best, you know, in these shoe company events and out in Vegas and some of these things we were talking about with RD yesterday as well.
Yeah, you got to be able to evaluate them out in that, because that's the most important thing.
You need to see if a 4-star fits in with other 4-star players in these AAU deals in the summer.
So. Yeah, but we're going to...
The transfer portal, you just got more film, more quality evaluation. So I think it's really changing the way guys like Eric Musselman and every college basketball coach is looking at how they do recruiting. Why would I always go and just think about recruiting a high school kid when that transfer portal is always going to be there with some experienced players? It changes your perspective on how you want to build your program or how you want to replenish your roster year in, year out.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, guys. Heck of a game. I mean, they really are as advertised, but it's also troubling. 18 Ks. I'm hearing that right. You only get 27 in a no-no, so seven runs. My God, you only have a difference of like what, two? That's not a very big margin there.
Yes, Arkansas struck out 18 times and walked once.
My God, that's troubling.
Yep.
It truly is troubling.
And still scored seven runs on 10 hits.
I know. Next year's team is going to probably be even better, which is really exciting. You know, I'm excited about Coach Musselman and everything, and the basketball team. It's looking really good. Is Ty going to still do that taser thing?
The taser thing, I don't know. He's kind of flip flop on it a little bit, but
I'm going to get paid. I'm not donating that to charity if I'm getting tased. Just sorry.
Oh, you make sure you go before you have that done, because you know if you tee on yourself, people going to talk about you for years. I'm telling you, electricity does some weird things to your body. You know what I mean? I mean, I won't talk about this, you know, much.
Thanks, Rod.
Sound advice.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah.
Appreciate the phone call, Rod. You know, that is something that if that ever ended up happening where we did #TasteHigh, as Tommy, you're really proud of that hashtag. And I'm proud of you for making
it.
I just
think it has a ring to it.
#TasteHigh. So if that ever happened, yeah, that would be the thing you got to make sure that you got to avoid there.
I love how Ty, to hell with charity. I'm taking the money.
You know? At least he's honest about it. I mean,
we're not doing it for the kids.
Tommy, if you want to be a good Samaritan, you can. I'm going to keep that money since I'm getting...
Have made it real clear over the last year on this show that this old, decrepit, rundown body couldn't handle it the way this chiseled temple that you are always promoting.
Never
this,
said chiseled.
This young,
not one time
25-year-old frame.
24. But.
24-and-a-half-year-old frame. I mean, you're just more built for this, Ty. I mean, you have made it clear that you are in peak physical condition. How could this old, tired, rundown bag of bones
never
over here
said peak.
ever take...
It's like five edits and two sentences.
I mean, it would just never work.
We need to have some sort of competition between you two as far as fitness or something.
Your physical fitness is so superior.
I have nothing to gain out of that because I'm expected to win. If I win, it's not a big deal. If Tommy wins, it's a big deal. So
yeah, it's kind of like Arkansas playing Arkansas
State. Those are the kind
right?
of deals
yeah.
I want to be in.
It's exactly. It's like Tommy's Arkansas State and I'm Arkansas. Right. I have nothing to gain out of that.
I win if you lose.
Well, just remember that when the time that me and Tommy went after it in a thick burger eating competition, you try to cheat and put jalapenos.
You're not
in
trying
line.
To cheat. You're not trying to win.
Yeah. So and that's the thing. So if you ever go up against in a competition against Tommy Kraft, just be on the lookout. Hey. Be watching your back. You never know what's going
to
happen.
I got to chew my arm off to win. That's what I'm going to do. You know?
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes karma can be something because hey, you putting jalapenos on that burger.
If you're not going to do everything you got to do to win. That's who I want to be in the foxhole with. I want to be in the foxhole with people that got to do everything they got to do to win.
And you want your team that you root for to kind of be the same way. Mm-hmm. Do whatever it takes to win.
Right.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm totally with you on that. We got to figure out some sort of competition between you two because it has been an ongoing, I want to call it a feud. It's been an ongoing discussion as far as the old man of Tommy Kraft, the young buck of Ty Richardson. Got to figure out some sort of way to settle it all once and for all. So, I don't know. We'll think about that. But, you know, to get back to what Rod on I-40 called about, and was now we talk about the baseball team. He said that this team has a chance to be even better next year. And I know you don't want to ever put the cart before the horse, but just the way that this team has been set up and the amount of players you're going to have back next year and the amount of great recruiting that's been done, I mean, this is kind of what has been building into the monster and into the great culture and the great program that Dave Van Horn has built into. I mean, yeah. This is right now where you're at. It's at the pinnacle. It's at the peak. I wouldn't say pinnacle because you can always go and win
right,
a championship.
Until you win the championship, you're not at it.
But this is
right.
definitely at the highest point of Dave Van Horn's tenure in Arkansas.
Let's get through this postseason before we worry about next year, because this year's team's got potential to do everything and then some. Last year's team fell one foul ball caught short of. So this, I mean, anyone in here not believe this team could win at all? I'm not saying they're going to, because you still got to have a lot of luck on your side. Everything's got to fall your way, but this team's got the ability. I don't think anyone doubts that.
No, I don't. I mean,
there's some things that, you know, we've talked about, middle relief pitching, and you know, last night, even though in a win, this team, when they face lefties, seem to have problems at the plate, but when you hit home runs, you know, now it's something, you're going to have a game where that doesn't happen, where the ball doesn't leave the yard, and particularly when you get into postseason, you start playing in these. At the College World Series, you're playing in a much bigger ballpark.
Yeah.
Now, some of these shots Arkansas's hitting, they're, wouldn't matter where they're playing.
Yeah.
Play on the moon.
Just crank
out of here. You know? And then you got a guy like Casey Martin. He doesn't even need it to leave the yard for it to be a home run.
Yeah. If he could just get a hold of it at the right place.
I mean, so, you know, this team can beat you in a lot of ways. And they can overcome a lot of their weaknesses because their strengths are so good. So, I don't know. There's just not a lot of weaknesses. They have a few, but... You know, middle relief, you know, last night wasn't bad, but it came in and still got a little dicey at moments there late in the game last night.
Yeah. And that's why people are so on board with this and thinking that they're going to do something just as good as what they did last year, is because, I mean, they're 40-13, 20-8 in conference.
First time Dave's gotten 20 in the conference season, right?
Because the last time that Arkansas did that was in 1999.
Mm.
With Norm DeBrien's team, they won 22 conference games that year. So, pretty impressive there in the SEC.
You could equal that record, obviously, with sweep this week.
Right, and nothing against, you know, of course, I'm not going to try to pretend that I was, like, all in on college baseball back in 1999, but I would assume that the conference was nowhere near the competitive level as it is now.
Oh, I don't know that that's true. I mean, this league for decades has been very good in baseball.
I know,
so I don't know that...
You don't think that this is right now the as good of the league has been?
I don't know. I need to ask Chuck Barrett kind of question. I mean, there's probably no better person to ask than Chuck on that, because he started doing the games in, what, 92 or whatever? He's seen it all in the SEC. Literally. I mean, like, done every game until he retired a few years ago. He's seen the entire era of Arkansas in the SEC, so... I don't know. I don't know how you compare 99, 20 years ago to now, as far as is the league better now or then? It was very good then. It's obviously extremely good now.
Yeah. Well, I kind of pulled up just the standings of the SEC back in 1999. And, you know, it's amazing because Alabama was number 4 in the country in baseball back then and won 53 games overall. Yeah. So it's amazing how much things have changed. But, I mean, you had teams like South Carolina was 35-23 overall that year. Kentucky was the second best team in the SEC East at 25-32. So the East was really bad. Arkansas had 42 wins that year. Alabama had 53. LSU had 41. Auburn had 46. And then the rest of the teams had under 40 wins. So, I mean, it was still, I don't know, I'm not saying that it was a bad conference then. It's just, I'm just asking because I don't know. I did not follow college baseball to the extent that we do now.
You know what? Neither did I. You know, and really, this state didn't follow college baseball until Brady Toups hit that Grand Slam home run.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really when it all... That was the first big shot heard around the state, if you will, to borrow the phrase and alter it a little bit. Because that is... That thing has lived forever in replays of Chuck's call. And that's really when Arkansas in 04 got to the college... That's when in the new ballpark and all of these things, you know, early there in Dave's time at Arkansas, that's when it really... The state started to pay attention. Until then, now, I mean, most people are like you and I, but can't really tell you what the league was like in 99. But Arkansas clearly had a great team that year.
Yeah. I can only remember Scott Hody. That's the only player that I can really remember from way back in was Scott Hody. But now, yeah, it just shows not only because you mentioned when the shot heard around the state. Yeah. Which I agree with you, because I was at that game, and that was one of the first baseball games I ever went to was that game, because there was a lot of excitement around it. But when that happened, it became to where not only was it Arkansas that was developing into a program where a lot of fans were paying attention, but I think a lot of the SEC around that time is when baseball programs started getting a lot of attention. And it's not just Arkansas that's built up and gotten the same excitement. It's just been the conference in general that's done that.
I wasn't at that game, but there's about 70,000 Arkansans that say they were, you know. So
where were you?
I don't even remember.
I figure that would have been a game you would have been front row seat right there. I'm sure you're on like vacation in the Turks or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Because that's what you do during postseason play of Razorback baseball. You always, always make sure to take your vacations around there. So
I don't know where I was, but I think I know I came in for one or two of the because they played, what was it, Florida State in the Super Regional following the win on that regional. I think I went to some of that, but it's when people really started paying attention though around the state.
Yeah, and now look at what it's become and what it's grown into and where you're sitting at right now.
Well, I mean, you look at that. Go back and look at some of the old photos of when they built Baum Stadium, now Baum Walker. And there weren't seats all the way down the lines, all the way to the fair poles.
Mm-mm.
No, there weren't skyboxes and suites all the way down.
In fact, it was just big green field. I remember as a kid playing out there. I mean, it's a lot just
like
a lot of
what
grass.
Kentucky's park is now that they spent $49 million on. You know, a lot of berms down the sideline. So it's a whole lot different. So,
I mean, that's just right there shows you the amount of development that's happened with the baseball program. And yeah, look at those old pictures. It's fascinating because I mean, it was barely down the past the dugout.
Yeah,
stands.
Got to the bag basically.
Yeah, I mean that's.
And then they added a few more suites and put like three more, because there was like one skybox, one suite on either side of the press box.
Mm-hmm.
They built a nice press box that was, at the time, one of the best in college baseball. No one had, it's like a high school deal at most places for college baseball, or you'd sit in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George Coalfield didn't have media facilities like we see today in college baseball. Then they had like a suite on either side of that, and then they came back and built a few down each side. I think they built six or so total. And then from there, they stretched it all the way out to kind of the end of the grandstands. They added on to that. I mean, there's been several phases of renovation done here. And they're not done yet because now they're trying to raise the funds and everything needed to build this new complex down right field.
Yeah. I mean, it's... At the time, I remember it was state of the art. And now look at it. It's still kind of state of the art.
It's always been... In its time.
Yeah. And that's the key, is in its
the
time.
The best or one of the best facilities in the country. It was then, it is now, and they're continuing to raise money to pour more money into baseball's facilities.
Yeah. I mean, it's the monster that's been created here at Arkansas under Dave Van Horn.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
On our Facebook live stream this morning, Doug asked a very interesting question that I feel like is something that we can really dive into and talk about. He says, Bama is the SEC juggernaut in football. Kentucky is the juggernaut in basketball. How many more successful postseason runs do we need before Arkansas becomes the juggernaut in baseball?
But in each of those sports, there's one. Now, Georgia is trying to become the other one, but Alabama is clearly the team in football, and Kentucky has clearly been the team for a long time. I don't think there is one team, because it's going to rotate. It's Vanderbilt some years. It's been Arkansas some years. It's going to be LSU some years. South Carolina previously has been in that conversation. Obviously, they're not this year. Florida is, what, 2 years removed from a national championship? Now, they're trying to play their way into the field this weekend. But point is, you've got so many great baseball coaches, so many great programs. I don't know that could you say any one program in this league is the juggernaut? Because any year it could be one of four or five programs. I mean that's the thing about it.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't.
I mean, if you pose that question and you instead of taking Arkansas, what about Vanderbilt? Because Vanderbilt's one of the hard outs in this league. When Vanderbilt's on your schedule, you know that's going to be a tough weekend when you got to play them for three. Or you got to go down to Gainesville. Or anytime you got to go to Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is there a sole juggernaut in this sport like there is in the other two?
No. No. But
Arkansas,
I think that
have
you
to
can
win,
be.
You know. Yeah.
I think that there can be.
I don't know that one team, any of them, Arkansas, Vandy, Florida, LSU, I don't know that any of them, because it's so competitive, could ever
distance themselves enough to get that label? That's a great question.
Yeah.
There's about three or... Right now, there's Arkansas, Vandy, probably Vandy 1, Arkansas, LSU, are all programs right now that you would kind of put that label on in this current year. Maybe this two-year stretch.
Yeah, because those...
And again, you can't leave Florida out there.
I know.
Just recently... won a national championship.
Yeah, and I'm looking at, actually, I looked up Florida. Since 2010, they've been to 7 College World Series. So, I mean,
I think that I'd call them a juggernaut.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But
I mean, you just look at the resumes. Now, obviously, it's not a Final Four, it's kind of a Final Eight at the College World Series, but it's kind of the equivalent to me.
Right.
Look at what the SEC does in a College World Series appearances, and it's pretty stellar.
Yeah.
Pretty staggering,
I mean,
honestly.
And there's a great balance in the conference.
Yeah.
And if you're comparing it to the other sports, because this is what's going to make it more difficult in the game of baseball, for one, to be able to do it like you do in football or even in basketball with Alabama and Kentucky, respectively. Alabama is a brand and a program that's even bigger than the SEC. I mean, it is the national program, all right? And I know Clemson's kind of the other program right now, but I mean, in football itself, besides Alabama and Clemson, I mean, would you put anybody else into that category with those two teams?
They're in their own
stratosphere.
You know, when Urban Meyer was at Ohio State, if you had three in that category, they were the distant third.
Mm-hmm.
But they really, you know, they weren't. I mean, what have we had? What, four? It's four straight times they've played each other, or three?
Three straight times
they played each other in the national championship. So, I mean, you know, they're in their own category right mm-hmm. now. And you can certainly make the case that Clemson has surpassed Alabama in current times. Not historically, but right now it's the better program today.
Yes.
You can certainly make that argument. In baseball, I don't know that you have any one program that is that way. Now, I think you have a collection of programs. Now, the difference is... Football's got 128 or whatever it is, FBS programs. Baseball's got 300 and I don't know the number, 330. It's similar to basketball, some odd programs.
Right.
There's never going to be generally one. There's not one national overwhelming dominant program in basketball year in, year out.
Yeah.
There's a collection of schools that, hey, Duke's in that group. Kansas is in that group. North Carolina. And baseball is going to always be that way. What you want to do is Arkansas, you're going to have to win a national title to get in that group. Mm-hmm. Arkansas is not in that group yet. You're missing the one key element. It's kind of like going to the champions dinner at the Masters. You got to win the tournament first.
Yeah.
Arkansas has got to get that green jacket in baseball, you know. And that's the one thing keeping them out of that club with the LSUs, the Vanderbilts, the, you know, the UCLAs, keep going, you know, the programs that always seem to kind of be around the national championship.
Yeah. Well, and see, that was going to be my question, is that with football, it's so few and it's so small of a sample size that you have of teams that you can put into that stratosphere, into that element. But in basketball and in baseball, it's multiple programs. I mean, we just reeled off 5 off the top of our head for basketball. You can reel off probably, what, 10? Of baseball programs, at least, that you would be in that mm-hmm. upper echelon in the elite status. I mean, teams like Oregon State, teams like Florida, teams like South Carolina, like places that have been to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But in football, it's not that way, because just how the game is going and the way it is right now, it's Alabama and Clemson. And even before Clemson joined the party, it was really just Alabama. Yeah. And yeah, I know you mentioned Urban Meyer and Ohio State a little bit.
Well, I would even put Georgia. I mean, Georgia's right there. In that conversation, they just can't seem to consistently. They can't get around Bama.
Well, that's, you know? And I was going to say it's because it goes through Bama.
Yeah.
I mean, they just happen to be in the same conference as Bama. Now, if they found a way to say win the SEC this year over Alabama, and then they go to the college football playoff and win a national championship, then everything changes.
Dude, somehow, if that happened, Alabama would still find their way in as like the 4 seed and come back and beat Georgia in the national championship. I mean, that's just how it'd work.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, ask LSU. What, 2011? Mm-hmm. In 2011, LSU goes undefeated in the regular season.
Beat Alabama
to go undefeated in the regular season, win the SEC championship, and then they have to play them in the title game, and then Bama Roche just crushes them in New Orleans.
Yeah.
They don't cross the 50. It was that game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just tell you, fate always seems to find Alabama when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But that's the thing, is that you feel like in football there are a few programs that are just this close to being able to go through and break through that ceiling to get into.
Georgia's one of them.
Georgia's one of them. See, and I know that we like to make fun of them because it's easy, but I think even Oklahoma's one of those programs because they've been in the college football playoff every year. They win the Big 12 almost every year. They've had Heisman Trophy winners pretty much every year, it seems like.
And then they get beat 40 in the playoff.
Well, they held Alabama pretty well this past year. But
it's more fun when we make fun of them.
Right, so. But what I'm saying is that they are one of those programs too, though, that could be in that point. So, going back to the whole point of when it was brought up about Arkansas and what the possibility of them becoming the quote-unquote juggernaut of the SEC, I just don't know if that's going to be able to happen because of the amount of elite programs that are in this conference that are bigger than just the conference. They're national brands, quote-unquote right. national hey, brands when it comes to college baseball.
Big a national brand as you can be in right. baseball. But I just think if you take Arkansas out of Doug's question, I don't know that there's really one program that can be the sole juggernaut in this league in baseball. Even the programs that have won multiple natties, you know, LSU right now, they're struggling. I mean, it's just hard to do it because of the nature of this sport with the scholarship restrictions, the draft, always eating into your recruiting. It's just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, but this league, I think, is as deep competitively. Well, that's the right way to put this, but I think you know what I mean. Baseball is probably the sport that they go the deepest in the major sports, in the men's sports, is anything. Deeper, certainly, than football or basketball. I don't know what any other spring or Olympic sports comparisons would be. But in baseball, as far as nationally competitive, I mean, obviously Vanderbilt, obviously LSU most years nationally competitive. Florida, you just mentioned, seven of the last 10 College World Series.
Yep.
They've made an appearance. Vanderbilt's won national titles. Florida won it 2 years ago. LSU, we know their track record. I mean, South Carolina won. It's been a couple of years, but
2010, 2011.
They won a couple national championships and have been on the national level even since then. I mean, you just look around the league, and I'm telling you, A&M's going to continue to be there. They got pitching but don't have all the hitting this year. But they're going to continue to work their way into that conversation. Mississippi State, they went to the College World Series last year. Georgia has been to College World Series in the past. I know they were at the one in 04, Arkansas. I'm trying to remember what ones they've been to, but there's a strong possibility this year. They're on the doorstep of a historic win total season for them. So, I mean, this league, it could come from anybody. There's really not very many teams that can't have that kind of year, because even the Alabamas and the Kentuckys have had, you know, the teams that are struggling this year have had years where they have been at the top of a division.
And does that make
in recent times?
But does that make it better? Does that make the sport better? Does it make the conference better? Does it make it more enjoyable when you don't have the one dominating force like you do in football, for instance, with Alabama? Because we talked about it, Tommy. We want to see Alabama and Clemson. Those are the two best. Mm-hmm. But in baseball, let's just be honest,
college baseball doesn't have the broad appeal.
But no,
to make the comparison between college football or even college basketball and
baseball. But if you're drawing the comparison of just any sport, though, do you want to have more parity? Do you want to have more balance, or do you want to see dynasties? Do you want to see dominating teams play other dominating teams every year? I mean, I know it's kind of just pick your poison. It's what you want. But a lot of times when people say, we're tired of seeing Alabama Clemson, but we say it's great.
I think fans of college baseball that are fans of SEC teams take pride in the fact that this league tests you more than any other conference. I don't care what the ACC or the Pac-12 says. This league tests you more than any other league, produces some of the best players that go to the draft after their third season. And if you can come out of this league like what Arkansas and Vanderbilt and Georgia and Mississippi State have done this year, those are going to be the top four teams in Hoover. You know, would you be surprised if any or all of those four teams are in Omaha this year? Of course not.
Not a bit.
Why? Because if you can come out of this league, dude, like the regional is so much easier than the SEC. It's kind of like, you know, if you're training for a marathon or something, you run 30 miles to get ready to run 26. Well, 26 seems easy because I've done run 32.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this league just pushes you beyond the brink in baseball.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Let's go to the phone lines. We're now joined by Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher. Scott, really appreciate you joining us this morning, man, as always. How you doing?
Good to be here. Good to be here. I like coming on Friday after a Thursday night win.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
I'm telling you, that's what we said last week. It's like it's a perfect setup to where you have a little time to react and a little time to talk about it. And it was a great victory last night. Lots of strikeouts, but lots of home runs, too.
Oh, my God. It was feast or famine. And I tell you, that's something to watch, you know, because this team was not expected to be a power team. You know, after last year's power display all the way up and down the lineup, this year their guys are showing some pop.
Yeah, 18 strikeouts for the Hogs. You know, and this is something that Arkansas struggled against left-handed pitching. A&M's going to throw throughout the rest of the two games here more lefties at Arkansas. What do you see there? You know, give us some insight as to why Arkansas might be struggling when they see the left-handers.
Well, if you watched the game last night, the left-hander wasn't like a big power lefty that Vanderbilt over Missouri would throw, where he got throwing 93, 94 miles an hour. It was a crafty lefty, which means he pitched. He had a lot of different pitches that threw him all for strikes, and nothing was overpowering, but they were all really good. And those are the teams, if you'll look down up and down the season, those are the pitchers that give the Razorbacks trouble. But those are also the pitchers that give everybody trouble, somebody who can really move the ball around a little bit. I don't think it's as much the left-handed part as much as it is the changing speeds, changing locations, put a little wrinkle on it, different kind of curveballs. And there, you saw guys waving at pitches that were 2 feet outside because they were just totally fooled.
Well, something, Scott, with the home runs that were being hit. I mean, 5 home runs only on 7 runs, but a lot of solo shots too. And it's not just one guy. I mean, they are sharing the power when it comes to the Razorback baseball team this year. And it's just funny because we keep going back when Dave Van Horn talked about that this team, they just don't have the power like they did last year. And then here they are, they're continuing to see, and it seems like every single series are getting better and better and getting more power and power as the season goes on.
I think that's a credit to the strength department. You know, he can't see the power that's being developed during offseason. He's not in there with them on a daily basis. But they all talk about the different exercises they do and the different strength program that they're on, their core muscles. And Benintendi proved that it worked. You know, he went from being kind of a scrawny freshman to being a super sophomore, and it was based just on staying there and working out all summer. And it worked out for him. Guys are golden spikes winning in the big leagues. So I think it's really showing up this season in their durability. Also on the durability of the pitching staff. You're not seeing a lot of season-ending injuries this year like you have in the past. Texas A&M has had some guys out. LSU just been devastated by season-ending injuries. So the program that they have them on, the stretching and the strength and the very specific programs, I think are really working out.
Speaking of Golden Spikes Award, I guess we should mention Isaiah Campbell, who was the starter last night and the winner for Arkansas, and went 6 innings, has been named a semifinalist for this award, which is, I guess if you equated it for maybe those listening that don't follow college baseball as regularly, and we're a little familiar with that here because of Benintendi winning this award, it's like the Heisman Trophy of college baseball. And Arkansas once again has a player that's in the final consideration for this very coveted college baseball award.
And I think there's 25 on that list. And also Casey Martin's named to the Dick Houser Award list, the 26 finalists for that. So you've got two guys on a team that were, you know, that we knew they were good coming in. Of course, Martin, this is his sophomore year. He didn't start off well. He had to adjust to the fact that pitchers were adjusting to the things that he could do well after, you know, just based on last year. Campbell was a big, you know, what are we going to get this year? Is he going to step in and become the guy on Friday night? Which is exactly what he's done. You know, he grew up as a pitcher during the offseason after last year's struggles a little bit on control and consistency. And he's just become a joy to watch, you know, when he has command of everything. And he has this year. That's been his big problem, is not having all of his command. So it's been a lot of fun to watch him develop.
So let's just play let's just assume Arkansas wins one of these next two. They win the West outright. They're the 2 seed going into the SEC tournament. How do you approach it? I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of different scenarios, but you can certainly make a case that, you know, having a long stay in Hoover is not the most advantageous thing for your postseason run, which is the only thing that matters. How would Scott Tabor approach a postseason run if you've really got a lot of your seeding and your national situation as far as top eight national seeds sewn up. How would you set things up if you were in Dave Van Horn's spot?
Well, you know, Dave and I, he called and asked me, what would I do?
Well, I knew so he I'll did. That's why I wanted back. To ask you. Yeah. You know.
I would go and I would see, I would have my pitching set up based on when the regional start, no matter how many games we won or lost in the SEC tournament. But I would have my pitching set up to where this guy's going to throw this first day and he's going to throw again on this day. Because that's what you do all through the season. You want to keep it consistent. So I'd have my pitching set up and it gets down to the end and it turns out we're still winning. And you go, you know, I need to throw Campbell, championship game. Well, if it's not his turn to pitch, if it's going to set him off schedule, you don't. We've got a lot of arms, so we may get to a final game and you're starting, you're pitching nothing but true freshmen.
Yeah.
And however it ends up, you know, or maybe bring in Cronin one extra time. But you just don't want to screw up your pitching for the postseason. You know, players want to play, and coaches know that, and players have to play. Baseball's not a game where you go, you know what, let's rest all of our starters. Bad idea. You get out of the rhythm of it because it's a game of rhythm and a game of grinding. You sit them for a week or two, and it screws things up badly. Your timing gets off. Your aggressiveness at the plate, just everything is off a little bit, especially on the pitching side. You want to be a little bit tired. You don't want to come in with a completely rested, fresh, I haven't thrown a bullpen, hadn't touched a ball in a week and a half. You're going to be all over the place. So I would set my pitching up and stick with that, you know, all the way up through the end, because the postseason is what you play for all year. This program is to the point where we're not hoping to come in second in the league, you know, or maybe get an at-large bid somewhere to a regional. This program is to the point where every year now they're playing the season for a national seed. Mm-hmm. Because your national seed, being a home team for a national seed for a super regional, is your ticket in Omaha. You know, if you can get to that point, if you have the talent. And you were talking about blue bloods earlier. It is hard to be a blue blood in baseball because you're only as good as your last season. You know, in baseball, if you're a pitcher, you're only as good as your last outing. So it's kind of what you've done for me lately. But we're in the conversation every year now, and kids want to come here. And once you start having that happening, and you can listen to Van Horn. I read a little blurb that he had the other day talking about pitching. If you'll notice, he was saying, you know, we got Cops back now, so we want him to get one inning, maybe five batters. Yeah. That's what he expects out of him. That's all he wants. You know, prior to you know, going way back, if you got a guy good enough to get people out, to leave him out there as long as you can. And so that's not the way things are now. They're so deep in pitching, and that's a bonus to have. And so he can really, really manipulate his lineup and his pitching staff.
Speaking with Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher, right now on the Morning Rush. Scott, there. I mean, there's a lot of players that we could talk about. There's a lot of players that have really elevated their game and stepped up. But yeah, just a yeah. few. But the one guy that I just feel like has been the difference maker and has been the great addition is Trevor Ezell. I mean, the guy seems that he is fitting right into that role at first base. He's doing a great job, and then his hitting. It just seems like with what they lost last year, to be able to add a guy like Ezell and what he's been able to bring to the table has been such a difference in this team this year.
You know, and I think that's such a pleasant surprise because they knew what he had by just by playing against him. You know, knowing he was from Bryant, going to JUCO, went to Missouri State, couldn't get him out when we played against him. And I can't even imagine how that phone call went. Hey, coach, I'd like to transfer to Arkansas for my final year. Okay, we'll send a plane for you. You know, because it's just somebody they couldn't get out. Guy hit 500 against us, you know, against us. And so they knew kind of what they had coming in, but they didn't know, you know, with the arm surgery and things going on. But the little dude can hit. The little dude can flat hit. And if you can hit, you'll play. And you don't have many 5'9 first basemen. But in this case, stick him over there. You know, if the guy was a catcher, stick him back there. It wouldn't matter where he can play. Just because he can hit. But, yeah, I think he has been kind of one of the major, you know, he replaced Carson Shaddy. In Shaddy's senior year, he was just spectacular to watch. And he was kind of the emotional leader of this team. And this team doesn't have one big rah-rah guy out there, you know. It just seems like they're all really, really focused on what they do. And everybody's got their job and everybody's got their role. And you can kind of see it all the way up and down the lineup. And if they're not hitting well, you know, there doesn't seem like there's always somebody that steps up. And that's a confidence builder for everybody on the team. You know, they don't get down on themselves. And they don't feel like they have to do it all. So it's been, we talked about this early in the year, you know, just looking up and down the lineup. This team is built for a deep run. And so if things go well, you know, injuries go well, and we don't run into a buzzsaw somewhere, you never know.
All right, last.
I'll tell you one thing I do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, I'll say last one. What are you looking for in these final two starts of the regular season with Wicklander and Nolan? What should we be watching for, particularly in the early innings, to see if they're on their game in these final two regular season games beginning tonight?
Kind of that. You know, seeing how they come out with control. The only time I've seen Nolan really, really struggles when he comes out, he's leaving the ball up. If he's leaving the ball up early, he usually has an early exit, and it could be a hitching his giddy up in his back or his legs or his shoulders. You know, pitching's a mechanical thing, mechanical issue. He's got the mental fortitude and the intestinal fortitude that to work through those things if he's given enough rope. Wicklander. Yeah, you know, I just love watching him pitch. He's just got such dynamic stuff, and being left-handed and bringing the stuff that he brings. I don't see any problems with that. Let him get as deep as he can. Because right now, you know, Van Horn is, that's exactly what he's doing. He's looking for, you don't want to burn somebody. You don't want to just waste a pitcher. So he's got a lot of arms that have come around. Guys have come back from minor injuries. And one thing that he has done to avoid major injuries is he sits them. You know, there's a trust between the pitching staff and the coach where they're not scared to tell him, hey, I got a little tightness in the front. Prior, you just if you had a little tightness, you kind of tried to pitch through it. You don't want to lose your spot. You know, you don't want to be the Wally Pipp story. So they do that. You know, you see guys are out for 2 weeks. He didn't come falling off the mound with a broken arm. You know, he just has not been there for 2 weeks. And he won't even put him on the roster. He said that. He said, I don't even put him on the roster just so I won't be tempted to use him. You know, so that's a way to manage it.
Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher. Always appreciate you hopping on with us every Friday. Scott, enjoy the weekend. Looking forward to talking postseason next weekend, all right?
Postseason, baby. Postseason. All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, have a
go Hawks.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.